So my name is Alexis Sigler. I wrote a book, Culture Change, Civil Liberty, Peace, Oil, and the End of Empire. I started doing this slideshow actually before I wrote the book. Part of the reason I put out the book was because as I was traveling around doing the slideshow, people would say, well, I want to hear more information about that. So the slideshow covers a lot of the same ground as the book, but is also somewhat different. The slideshow is broken out into four sections, basically. The first section is about peak oil, energy supplies. The second section is about biofuel. Because biofuel, ethanol and biodiesel in particular, have gotten a lot of attention. Some people consider them a solution to modern fossil fuel problems. Third section is about culture, about how we do or don't respond to these big challenges and why. Fourth section is about better directions. Can you see okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Pretty good. Okay. So here we go with the slideshow. The first section, as I said, is peak oil. And the person who created the concept of peak oil was one M. King Hubbard. I put his picture in the slideshow to make the point that he was not, by any measure, some scruffy radical hippie guy. He was a very mainstream, well-respected oil geologist in the 1940s and 50s. He created a theory that looked like that. Mathematical relations involved in the complete cycle of production of any exhaustible resource. A basic bell curve, and we're going to see a lot of bell curves in this slideshow. But his theory, and it has proven to be true with oil fields all over the world, or if you look at a set of oil fields, it also remains true, that when they find an oil field, production grows very slowly at first as we're trying to figure out how to produce oil, how to find the good spots in the oil field. Then they figure out how to produce the oil field really well. Production climbs really quickly. And the point of this graph is to recognize that when about half of the entire oil that's ever going to be produced out of an oil field has been pumped out, at the point at which production stops climbing, levels off, and then starts falling. This is relevant to the global situation because a lot of oil geologists think that we have about 2 trillion barrels of oil near the surface of the Earth, and we've used up maybe a trillion. There's a lot of debate about these issues, naturally. Now, in this day and age, we recognize a lot of limits, but when M. King Hubbard first put out this theory, it was sacrilege. It was caused quite a bit of stir because he was well respected, but nobody would believe him. Nobody would accept his theory. Because in particular, he said the lower 48 states, the United States, he predicted that we would peak in oil production around 1970 or 71. In the post-World War II period, the United States is the Saudi Arabia of the world. We produced more oil than anybody. We dominated global oil markets. Nobody would believe him. Well, this is a graph of actual production in the lower 48 states. The red line there is what was produced. It peaked exactly when he said it was. Now, you would think...
When did he predict that?
He predicted it about 1956, I think, was when that paper came out. He first started putting it together around 49. I think the graph I showed you was 56. And he was well ahead of his time. Now, you would think that once he was proven right, people would say, hey, wow, you were right. They didn't. First of all, none of the federal agencies that plan our energy future, and as much as they plan our energy future, predicted this peak. None of them prepared for it, and none of them actually responded, neither the government agencies nor the oil companies, when the peak arrived. We simply started buying more oil overseas. And even years after this peak occurred in the lower 48 states, people denied it. They said, oh, that didn't happen, and production's going to pick up again. Well, now many years later, it wasn't until the 1980s that some people started saying, wow, that old dude, M. King Hubbard, he was right. So it goes. There's a lot that's controversial about peak oil. Some people say, you know, we're not going to reach the peak of global oil production for another 10 years. Some people say 20 years. Some people say 30 years. Some people say it was a year ago. What's not controversial about peak oil is this graph. The black line on this graph is actual oil production. The bars on this graph are how much oil they discovered each year. As you can see, starting in the 1980s, we started producing more oil than we were discovering. So now we use about 5 barrels of oil for every 2 or 3 that we discover, new oil, which obviously can't go on forever. Okay. This is a graph of actual world oil production put out by a guy named Stuart Staniford. He writes a lot on a website called theoildrum.org or .com. I think either one will get you there. The point of this graph is simply to point out that global oil production has been relatively flat for the last couple of years, and the general shape of the curve is starting to resemble a bell curve. Another interesting point to take from this graph, there's couple of different colors of lines on here. You would think that the process of reporting oil production and use would be a very exact science, given that it's such an integral part of the modern industrial economy. The reality is that it's not. The United States records exactly how much oil we produce and use. Most other nations in the world do not. Particularly in the Middle East, it's considered a state secret. There's a guy who has a floor above a grocery store in Geneva who runs a company who claims to have harbor spies throughout the Middle East who sit there with little notebooks and keep track of the tankers coming and going, and they know which tankers belong to which countries, and this is how we sort of theoretically know how much oil the world is using. It's kind of nuts, really. This is another graph, also on theoilgum.com.org, I think either one. The theory is the current production of global oil was July of last year. Whether or not that graph is going to pick up and can keep going up, we lost the eating system. Good. Whether or not that graph is going to continue upward at this current point, who knows? But the current peak was a year ago, more than a year ago. It's going to be interesting this summer because the current projected demand for this summer is about 87.5 million barrels a day, and the world has never produced that much oil. It'll be interesting to see what we do or if we enter another period of crisis and stability. Nobody really knows. Cancerel. This is a graph of production in the largest oil field in Mexico, Mexico being one of the larger oil suppliers to the United States. There's a few things to be learned from this graph. Once again, you can see the general shape of the bell curve there. You'll also notice it says nitrogen injection begun in 1997. The way oil extraction works, oil actually exists in the pores in rock underground. It doesn't just sit there in a big puddle. It's actually embedded in the rock. When they first drill an oil well, it's often under pressure and it will come out on its own. But fairly soon after that, they have to start pushing it out. And the way they do that, usually they use water. They have a pipe at the top of the well and they send a pipe to the bottom of the oil field, and they pump pressurized water in there that pushes the oil up and out. And they usually only get 30, 40, 50% of the oil out of the rock, and the other half of the oil stays behind. The oil company executives, when they talk about peak oil and they say, oh, this isn't a problem, they talk about lateral drilling. So instead of just having a pipe down, they go down and they send out lateral pipes. They send out more and more lateral pipes staying right above the water line as the water line moves up in the oil field. They also talk about gas injection. Sometimes they use natural gas. In this case, they use nitrogen injection in Cancerel. Generally, what happens with all these new technologies is they get the oil out more quickly, but they still only get 40 or 50%. That's what we seem to be learning from the data from oil fields all over the world. Cancerel, the prediction for this oil field was that this line here would continue to go up for years. It hasn't. It's fallen off, gone into a very steep decline, 12%. So in other words, you can produce the oil more quickly, but you can't really get more oil through all of these fancy new technologies. Seems to be what's happening. This is a graph that's very new. It came out about a week ago on the oil drum. Again, another Stuart Stanford graph, and it's causing an enormous stir among the peak oilers. Saudi Arabia has been the swing producer in global oil production, the one country that has a lot of excess capacity. So like when we invade Iraq, for instance, we in the past have gone to Saudi Arabia and said, hey, can you put some more oil on the market to stabilize prices while we do this nasty little bit of political business here. That's the bump you see there. Well, starting last year, you see how the graph's falling off there? 8% decline in Saudi Arabian production last year. Some people think that decline was not accidental, but rather based on the fact that their fields are getting very old and starting to suffer from problems of depletion.
What's the blue?
The blue is the number of oil rigs. Saudi Arabia has such huge productive oil fields that they have very few oil rigs. They had these enormously productive rigs, wells, so they didn't have to have a lot of wells. Now suddenly the number of wells they're drilling is skyrocketing, which is another indication that they're scrambling to keep their production going at the current rate. These are oil production curves from all over the world. You can see the general shape of the bell curve for different fields. These two are from Russian oil fields. This third one right here is from Slaughter, which is the largest oil field in the lower 48 states, I believe, in Texas. Interesting point about Slaughter. Remember I was talking about the water in the oil field? Well, the water in the oil mixes in the oil field as the oil field plays out. The largest oil field in Saudi Arabia, Ghawar, is pumping about 30% water. Slaughter in Texas is pumping 98% water at this point. So a lot of the oil fields in the United States, they're pushing a lot of water down there trying to push the last bits of oil out. This one is Prudhoe Bay in Alaska. The price collapse that happened in the 1980s, that was based on Saudi Arabia increasing their production, but also North Sea and North Slope. North Sea is Great Britain and Norway, produced a lot of oil. North Slope is Prudhoe Bay in Alaska. Both of those fields have played out or are now in rapid decline. You can see that Prudhoe Bay is producing at about a quarter of what it was about 10 years ago. It's also something of an explanation for why the pipeline blew up there last year, because with production declining like that, the oil companies are reluctant to go in there and rebuild infrastructure. They kind of let it rust and try to squeeze it out. So that's an issue. This is actually a Matt Simmons slide, Simmons and Company. He's a personal friend of Dick Cheney and George Bush. Some people, by the way, think that the whole peak oil thing is a conspiracy to drive up prices. Greg Palast, in his new book, Armed Madhouse, puts out that theory. But in any case, there was a lot of press.
This is all a theory to drive up prices.
That's what Greg Palast says.
Has he renounced on that yet?
He has not. I don't think his information is very good. It's interesting, if you look at the people who deny peak oil, there's CERA, which is the Cambridge Energy Research Associates, there's USGS, the United States Geological Survey, and then there's the IEA, International Energy Association, I think. There's a lot of economists who say, oh, don't worry about peak oil, and there's a lot of oil geologists who say, this is for real. In my mind, and I think